Hi, everyone. Welcome to Your Baby's Brilliant Brain. I'm Dr. Christine Anderson, and with me, as always, is
Dr. Toxel Ruck.
And we're here to help you optimize your baby's brain development from conception through the first few years of life. And today we have a special guest with us, and Dr. Toxel is going to introduce our guest, Dr. Rosita Arvigo.
So, thank you for joining us today, Dr. Rosita Arvigo. We'll just call you Rosita from here out. But Dr. Rosita Arvigo, DN, is a naturopathic physician, herbalist, international lecturer, and author. She graduated from the Chicago National College of Naturopathy. I'm not 100% sure I'm pronouncing that right, because I've never
tough one.
Yeah. So you graduated in 1982. So you've lived in remote areas of Mexico and Belize for over 40 years. And then you studied with traditional healers, especially Don, and forgive me if I pronounce this incorrectly, Eligio Panti?
Eligio Panti.
Thank you. I apologize for that pronunciation. But that's a renowned Maya shaman of Belize. And you also studied under a midwife herbalist, Hortense Robinson, who both received the National Living Treasure Award in Belize. So very heavily focused in Belize there. So you had a full family health clinic in the town of San Ignacio, Ohio, Belize, from 1983 until you retired in 2010 from the family practice. You've done so much stuff. I'm looking at all this going like, oh my gosh, I better get a move on with my life. But you and your husband founded, and again, I apologize for any wrong pronunciation here, Ixchel Tropical Research Center. I got that right? Awesome. In Belize. So this organization is dedicated to the preservation and study of medicinal plants of the rainforest. So they conduct many educational programs for children, such as ethnobotany in the classroom, summer bush medicine camp, useful plants of Belize exhibit, and the after-school program. And that's just a few of them. You've done many, many more. So you and your husband also founded the Belize Association of Traditional Healers, the Rainforest Medicine Trail, and Rainforest Remedies, which is a herbal concentrate company. And in 1987, so this is back in the 1980s, you founded the Belize Ethnobotany Project with Dr. Michael Balick mm-hmm. of the New York Botanical Garden. So you've coordinated efforts with the National Cancer Institute of Bethesda. Thank you. I'm like, so many words I've never, ever had to say before. To collect over 2,500 medicinal plants of Belize. You've tested them on 99 types, or not you, sorry, they tested them on 99 types of cancer cells and 2 AIDS viruses. And you also assisted Kew Garden in London, England, and they have a program to collect and screen anti-diabetic plants of Belize for screening. So you're heavily involved with many other countries and your teachings. So most importantly, and that gets to our main discussion today, you are the founder of the Arvigo Institute that trains practitioners in the Arvigo techniques of Maya abdominal therapy and Maya spiritual healing. So even though you've retired, you do still teach this technique. So you've retired from your clinical practice, but you've done your teaching of this technique in Belize, Mexico, and Chicago. And are you still a regular lecturer at Charco del Ignay. Oh my gosh. Sorry about
Charco
that.
Charco del Ingenio,
yes,
in San Miguel de Allende, Guanajuato, Mexico. Yes, I still lecture there every year.
Thank you. I'm like, because I probably would pronounce those words wrong too.
We both speak French.
Yeah.
Oh, not Spanish.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I don't have that Spanish background.
A little bit more now after living in LA for 30 mm-hmm. years.
Yes.
A little, but in general, yeah, definitely more.
Yeah.
French oriented.
And then just to top that off, you have written several books. So you are extremely, extremely entrenched in the practice of healing naturally.
Yes.
So Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Christine.
So I was even trying to remember when I was studying Maya abdominal massage with you. I can't even remember how long ago it was. Maybe it wasn't.
It had to be in the 1990s, maybe early 2000.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was trying to think if my son was already born yet. But yeah, it's incredible how time flies when you're having fun.
And you have a long life.
And we have a long life. Yes. And a vital life, which is the most important, not just to be here, but to, of course, be of service, which you certainly are. And one of the things that we usually ask is, how the heck did you get on this path, not only of the naturopathy path, but the healing path, and ending up in, of all places, Belize? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Right. Well, I think I've been a lover of plants all my life. My mother always said my very first game was with dollies who were sick, and I'd line them up in the backyard, and I made pills with wild peppermint and mud, and stuffed those dolls' mouths with peppermint pills, and I was only 4 years old. And then I have just always had an affinity with plants, and that led me to medicinal plants, and that led me to traditional healing. And so while I was in Mexico for 7 years, I learned a lot about medicinal plants of the Americas, not just Mexico, from traditional healers who were also massage therapists. It's a tradition in Central America that a curandera, a man or a woman healer, is usually an expert in medicinal plants and some type of massage or spiritual healing. So when I went to Central America because of the Vietnam War, we decided it was unpleasant, and my boyfriend at the time was a draft dodger. So we left America, went to Mexico, stayed there for 7 years. And when I came back from Mexico, I was really interested in becoming a professional healer, a doctor of some sort of healing technique. And I found naturopathy, which is a college in Chicago where my family home is. So I already, by that time, I had a small child who was only four. And I came back to Chicago to study, got my degree in naturopathy. And then after that, came back to Belize. And there we got involved in traditional healers in Belize, because as a doctor of naturopathy, a herbalist, a body worker, I needed to know and to recognize the local healing plants. Therefore, I sought out Don Eligio and Ms. Hortense, and Don Eligio was the impetus behind the Maya abdominal therapy. But he never went to school, never learned to read or write, nor did Ms. Hortense. So I spent 13 years with Don Eligio, 10 years with Ms. Hortense. Then I put 20 years into bringing their, we could say, unlettered knowledge and wisdom into a body of work with anatomy, physiology, spiritual healing that would be palatable and understandable to us educated northern people. And so therefore I introduced the Arvigo techniques of Maya abdominal therapy, because it is about half of what Don Eligio and Ms. Hortense taught me and half of what I learned over the years doing body work. The work with Michael Ballack and the New York Botanical Garden and the National Cancer Institute came about because I was overwhelmed in the beginning. I did not know Don Eligio was a Maya shaman. I knew he was a very well-respected, very knowledgeable herbalist, but I did not know that he was the primary spiritual leader of the Maya people at that time. So I felt really overwhelmed. Now, what do I do with this? I only came here to learn the plants. Now I'm looking at magic instruments and magic dream visions and spirit visitations, and I really didn't know how to proceed. So I contacted botanists. Michael Ballack answered, and then we began the Belize Ethnobotany Project to collect plants in Belize based on what traditional healers guided us to. So we collected 3,000 medicinal plants, and each of them will be tested against 100 types of cancer tumors and 2 AIDS viruses. And they're not done yet with the testing.
Yeah, that's a...
I guess that's a synopsis.
Well, that's a big project. I mean, that's... do you know when that's going to be completed? Do you have an estimated...
I think they have already looked at more than half the plants.
Yeah.
The other half they have not yet gotten to.
And will they publish anything about the preliminary results on what they've already found?
I don't know. I really couldn't say. Once you send the plants to the National Cancer Institute, then it becomes a scientific project.
Sure.
And then, so we're sort of out of the picture after that. Because then, of course, they're looking for something to synthesize.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. That's the case, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. They're not looking for a herbal remedy.
Yeah.
They're looking for a compound that can be synthesized.
Right. So it takes that out of the plant world and brings it back into the pharmaceutical realm. And that's what
well, right. That's, but wouldn't it be wonderful if a plant could provide a cure, a treatment, or a prevention for cancer or AIDS? And Don Eligio and Ms. Hortense were thrilled to participate. I always remember Ms. Hortense said, well, if I stay here, I could treat 5 or 6 people. If I go with you and Dr. Balick, I can help the world.
Yeah, that's a good vision.
And, yeah. And Don Eligio said, oh, the scientists, I guess they're not so dumb after all. He was a very funny person.
Well, I read your book talking about your experiences with him. He seems to be a character, and there was one part in the book that just really kind of struck me, where you were in some sort of tent or hut, and at nighttime he insisted that all the windows and doors be closed, and it's, you know, like 120 degrees, and you're like almost suffocating in this.
Right. He, as a Maya person, he was frightened of the night wind.
Yeah.
It was a proper concept, like a spiritual force.
Yeah.
That he felt was something dark and negative because it was dark and cold and likely wet.
Right.
Because of being in the rainforest. So, yeah, he was very much afraid of nighttime. Always had to have the doors and windows closed in a stuffy one-room cement house.
I can't imagine.
I have a question, and this might be a simple question, but I think it's one that a lot of people might have. What is naturopathy?
It's naturopathy. It's an offshoot of chiropractic medicine from 1907.
Hmm.
It was started by a chiropractor by the name of Oakley Smith, who felt at the time, at the turn of the century, that chiropractic was too violent. And he set about creating a more gentle approach of manipulation to achieve the same results of normalization of nerve flow from the spinal column to the organs. So we are much more focused on ligaments, ligamentous connective tissue damage, which is why when I studied with Don Eligio and Ms. Hortense, and they were very intent on trying to describe the importance of uterine positions, because I understood the function of ligaments within the body. Once I started studying their massage techniques of how to lift an improperly placed or downward falling womb, the wandering womb, as we call it, I totally understood how it could be helped by a massage that lifted it upward, because I understood so much about ligaments and their damage and the effect that it has on the body structure. So that was a great benefit that I knew naturopathy. And so that, in combination with the traditional healing techniques, is what is the crux, really, of the Arvigo techniques.
Well, that leads us into what exactly are we talking about? What is the Arvigo technique of Maya Abdallah massage?
Well, as I explained, it's a combination of ancient traditional knowledge and wisdom given to me as a gift by the traditional healers of Central America, Mexico, Belize, Guatemala, even Nicaragua, and also a in combination with modern therapies, knowledge, and information of anatomy, physiology. So in combination with the Maya medicine, some bits of Aztec medicine from Mexico, and what I know about the physiology of the human body, those two in combination are what Maya abdominal therapy is, and it primarily focuses on the front of the abdomen and the back. So at the front of the abdomen, the most important structure is the diaphragm. We all know when we are nervous or upset, or anxious, worried, afraid, or frustrated, you can feel something inside your abdomen twist and tighten. How many people say, oh, felt like an elevator dropped, or I felt my stomach tie up in knots? It's a very common human experience that we absorb that type of anger, fear, frustration into the abdomen that tightens the diaphragm because it's a big muscle that's shaped like an upside down walnut shell, and the artery and the vein go right through it. So when you get anxious, this happens and the artery and the vein get squeezed so that blood supply to all of the pelvic abdominal organs and your low back are compromised. And so with the abdominal massage, the first thing we do is check that tension in the diaphragm around the solar plexus, massage it, try to get it to relax, and therefore homeostasis and hemodynamics are normalized. I mean, the list of benefits of the abdominal massage really surprised me. But when I think about how this is the center of where so many structures lie and are so compromised by normal everyday human anxiety, it makes sense that if you normalize the blood flow through the diaphragm, you're going to get better blood supply to the stomach, the spleen, the pancreas, the intestines, the uterus, the prostate, the ovaries, down to the legs, and also you'll get better normal blood supply up and down. Up would be arterial, down would be venous. All of that is going to normalize as well because you open that big space in there where the artery and the vein go through. And when we're under a state of anxiety, then the arterial blood is, the blood supply is squeezed, the venous return is squeezed, even the lymph nodes don't flow. So it's what we call the five systems of flow: the arterial, the venous, the lymph, the nerve, and finally the chi. Through the abdominal therapy, all those systems are normalized and balanced. So therefore, pretty much whatever ails you will improve if you have better homeostasis, which is balance within, and hemodynamics, which is unobstructed flow of body fluids and energy channels. That make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah. Crystal clear to me.
Yes, yes.
And this is exactly, this is what we're looking for, are ways that we can bring our body into balance so that we can self-heal versus relying on things coming in from the outside or just mitigating symptoms. And then in relation to things like fertility, pregnancy, maybe giving us some sort of how the Maya abdominal massage can benefit women who are trying to conceive and then once they become pregnant.
Right. Well, our work focuses a great deal on two primary aspects. There are many, many beneficial results, but our focus is on normalizing digestion, normalizing reproductive function. So in women, we know nowadays there are some very common ailments like dysmenorrhea, painful periods, lack of periods, lack of proper flow, no periods whatsoever, and of course, fertility. And from what I learned and my observation in my own clinical practice as a family physician for about 40 years, I noticed that about 70% of women with a fertility challenge, I don't like to use the word infertility because it's so damaging to the psyche. It is a fertility challenge. And in my experience, almost everyone, I guess it's around 70%, where there is a fertility challenge, the uterus is in a bad position inside the pelvis. The uterus can be too low, therefore the cervix drops into the vagina. It can be off to the right. It can be off to the left. It could be leaning too far and too close over the bladder, too far back and leaning up against the colon. All of those positions prevent the proper hemodynamic flow of blood, nerve, chi, and the venous and the lymph flow. Therefore, maybe the ovaries don't work properly. We often find that sometimes, especially if the uterus is retroverted or lying backwards up against the colon, behind the uterus are both ovaries. So if she's lying backwards, both of her ovaries are getting mashed by her uterus. They're not getting the proper blood supply that nature intended, nor is the venous blood flowing out, carrying away waste material. The lymph system is not able to bring in its materials to cancel out all types of infections or bacteria or whatever is there that shouldn't be there, and also to carry away waste material. So we find that lifting the uterus, putting it back in proper position, is often the answer to a fertility challenge. And one of the most interesting things after 20 years of research, I find, is that when an egg is released from the ovary, it flows into the fallopian tube by movement from the fimbriae of the fallopian tube. So it comes in here, goes down the fallopian tube, and here at this point where it turns from fallopian tube to uterus, that little space is the size of a needle.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Size of a needle.
Wow.
So any little bit of swelling or inflammation or backup of especially lymphatic fluid or backup of venous, because the uterus and the ovaries can have varicose veins. They can have varicosities right inside those two organs. So that is very likely to just close that opening from fallopian tube to the uterus. So either it does no longer develop, or it doesn't get passed into the uterus, or it creates a tubal pregnancy because that fertilized egg is unable to move in. We also find often that the fluid environment of the vagina, the ovaries, and surrounding the uterus are often too acidic. Again, because the venous flow is not able to carry away waste material and the normal amount of blood acids that we all produce. But if especially the vagina, if it gets slightly too acidic, it will destroy the sperm before it gets into the cervix. Once it gets into the cervix, it still has a very specific pH system, a very specific blood acid or alkaline, that it must have a extremely delicate balance. That's homeostasis. For instance, the blood acid should be at 7.35. If you go down to 7.3, which is too acidic, you're probably killing the sperm before it can even get into your uterus to find an egg. And all of this can be alleviated by getting the uterus lifted so that its arterial blood supply from the sides of the hips flows in. That means nutrients, oxygen, hormones, and all waste matter and material can flow out. The lymph can get in to do what it has to clean up. The lymph can go out, carrying away what it just vacuumed up. And the energy flow, as we know, is extremely important. So I also teach all of my students to correct problems in the lower back, especially the sacrum and the lumbar, where basically the life force of the pelvic organs comes from the spinal column, as you very well know, Dr. Anderson. And we often find that women have had really bad falls. For instance, falling on ice, falling down the stairs, falling on roller skates, falling off of horses, getting kicked by a horse, falling off a chair. There are so many ways that a woman's sacrum can be damaged because ours is much more flexible so that a baby's head can come out. Whereas a guy's sacrum is not so flexible like ours is because they're not having to give birth. So that flexible sacrum also means that it can much easier develop scar tissue from being pushed in the wrong direction by a drop or a fall or an accident. So our work also involves a great deal of work on the sacrum, the lumbar area, which means we're also very good at backaches, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I hope that gives you some information.
Well, and it's fascinating to me because I think you, Dr. Chris, practiced on me back when she first, because she did learn this from you. So, and there is a self-taught technique and we have more to go into with that. But it kind of just connected in my brain when you're talking about that blood flow and that very precarious balance of acidic versus alkaline. And just for listeners, our blood has a certain level of acidity versus alkalinity that needs to sit at in order to work properly. Other areas of our body have slightly different. However, and this is where it clicks, when you're talking earlier about having the diaphragm open and available for that drainage to occur, for that, you know, acidity in the blood to be taken out and maintained. So that's why I'm like, oh, that's why you address both the diaphragm and the uterus. Or at least what I experience when I receive the technique, because you're making sure that the uterus is in a good position. And then also, as a result of the cleanup, you need to make sure that it's able to get out of the abdominal, you know, pelvic and abdominal cavities. And that happens out through the diaphragm because our huge lymph channels are up there as well. And that's where most of the waste products go.
If I have a lady with a fertility challenge, before I check her uterus, I check her diaphragm. Because if her diaphragm is tight, and everybody's diaphragm is tight, especially now in the world that we live in, everybody. So then she has a compromised blood supply to her pelvic organs. And the uterus is held up by 16 ligaments. Mm. 16 ligaments. And ligaments only have about 5% of the blood supply that the uterus itself, as a muscle organ, might get. So if you decrease the blood supply to the ligaments because of the tension in the diaphragm, and they only get 5% anyway, maybe they're reduced to 1 or 2% of oxygenated blood supply. Therefore, they just don't function. If they're supposed to hold tight, they let go. If they're supposed to let go, they hold too tight. Therefore, that very common round ligament pain during pregnancy, very common, very frightening for women. The very, very best treatment for that is the abdominal therapy that gives it a very slow, gentle pull, helps that ligament to stretch and gets in a better blood supply, better nerve supply. And in my experience, I worked a great deal with the Mennonite community in Mexico. And I took care of women over a 40-year span who had as many as 18 children. And I took care of them in every single pregnancy, all the way up to when they were carrying babies themselves. And so the round ligament pain, yeah, is very, very common. And it always gets better with the uterine massage.
So maybe
all external, and we teach self-care as well. So a woman can go home after a first treatment. If there's time, sometimes it can only be done in the second treatment. A woman should always be taught her self-care because our uterus is very subject to being misplaced by falls, wearing high heel shoes, carrying heavy objects during and before menstruation, carrying heavy objects too soon after giving birth, or falling during pregnancy. I mean, there are, I think I have 15 causations and 42 symptoms. So.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Yes. So you just started talking a little bit about pregnancy, so maybe just
let's go there.
About how we can use my abdominal massage during pregnancy to help women.
Well, I checked in with our midwives before I did this talk, and it's always good to get other expert advice. But they gave me one phrase that I would like to repeat before we go into a deeper explanation. And the phrase is, gentle, focused, experienced massage over the abdomen during pregnancy ensures that all the Creator intended to happen will happen.
I like it.
So all that the Creator intended to happen will happen. And what the Creator intends is that the baby's placenta has a really rich, oxygenated, nutrient-filled, hormone-blessed blood supply. And the abdominal massage ensures that the flow is coming from the main artery that goes down the center of the abdomen, so we get better blood supply to the placenta. There is also a much stronger connection of the placenta to the uterine wall. That also is very strong. There's going to be better flow of progesterone into the placenta, into the whole the body of the uterus, so that the pregnancy is stronger and less likely to become a miscarriage. I think that it definitely prevents premature birth, because the uterus is much more able to hold itself. By massaging the uterus during pregnancy, we're always working with the benefit of relaxin. Relaxin is the pregnancy hormone that helps your body to stretch itself, helps the muscles of the uterus to expand without pain for you, helps the ligaments to expand, helps your bowels to relax so you get more nutrients into your bloodstream. So when we're working with pregnant women, we find that we get fabulous results that we don't always get when a woman isn't pregnant, because of relaxin's effect on the ligaments of the uterus. There is a phenomenon in pregnancy that if the mother is under stress, and you could imagine, we've all been there, if you're a pregnant mother with two or three little ones, and nowadays, maybe there are financial troubles. Even imagine women in pregnancy being evicted from their homes. And there are a million ways a woman could experience stress during pregnancy. This creates a cortisol compound, the stress hormone in your body. When we gently massage the uterus during pregnancy, it brings the cortisol level down and it increases the levels of dopamine, serotonin, and the endorphins. So that means that the baby is more comfortable. As we massage the mother and the belly, of course, we massage the whole mother, not just her belly. So her stress level is going down. Therefore, the baby's cortisol level will go down. And I know that babies do absorb fear and tension during pregnancy. There's no doubt. And those babies who have been traumatized in utero are very, very difficult newborn babies. I find that in my post-birth work with women, if they have had a difficult or a stressful pregnancy, that is the baby who won't sleep. Has a very hard time relaxing, doesn't nap, or he or she naps for 10 minutes and then jumps up and cries. That's the baby you can't put down and let it sleep by itself for the first whole month. I've seen where people were on 8-hour shifts holding a baby to their breast to calm it down after a traumatic birth, or after, for instance, I remember one woman who had a terrible fire in her house during her 38th week of pregnancy. She had to rush out of the house for fear of her life, dragging her little ones behind her. And she never had such a difficult baby as that one. But massaging the mother, massaging the baby, and then because we have such a very strong spiritual healing component in our work, we can't separate the physical and the spiritual because we were taught by traditional healers. We were able to treat the baby for a spiritual ailment called susto. Susto, since you're in LA, you might have heard that before. It's a type of fright or as a result of some trauma. It's what we think of as PTSD. So babies in utero, once they're born, can exhibit PTSD symptoms. And massaging the mother to bring her stress hormones down, getting better normalization of all systems into the uterus, into the placenta, and into the baby as well. I thought it was fascinating that in utero, a baby's neuronal system, the neurons, nervous system, will create 250,000 neurons per minute.
Yeah.
Per minute.
Yeah, the neurogenesis in utero and the first few years of life is incredible.
Really incredible. So the baby and the placenta and the amniotic fluid all need a perfect state of homeostasis and hemodynamics. And that's what we are able to achieve simply by normalizing human function. It's not anything miraculous. We're not doing anything but removing the obstructions to normal human functioning, especially during pregnancy, where I feel like women are in Mother Nature's cradle. Women themselves are cradled by Mother Nature during pregnancy because of the tremendous task that we have to create a whole human being. When I think about a woman holding a tiny little inch and a half long embryo, and that grows into a human being with talents and intelligence and abilities and all of that that makes a human being, I'm utterly in awe.
Yeah, I agree. Anytime I think about, you know, two cells coming together, dividing, differentiating, life force and expression. I mean, it really, I always get chills. I'm getting chills right now. I literally just, the whole concept of it. We know that there has to be some sort of higher intelligence for that, because you gotta sit and think about it. And I know AI is getting really great, but they still have not been able to generate a human life, because you can't put a life force into something that isn't human.
It can't be with the personality, the intelligence, the gifts, the talents and abilities. Only Mother Nature, only the Divine Feminine is able to bring that about.
Yes, the Divine Feminine. I'm there with you on that.
Yeah, I know you are. I know. So it's the goddess at work. And basically, we assist the goddess's functions. We can't really improve on them. We can improve on them if it's not functioning properly. But it's a system of absolute divine perfection that can become imperfect because of a diminishment of blood supply to blood supply away, the lymph, the nerve, and finally the energy or the chi source. So I just know that abdominal therapy is the key to alleviating so many different pathologies in the human body, even more than we ever imagined. In the beginning, it was only me in a small family practice in a small town, in a small country in Central America. Now we have over 800 practitioners around the world, and probably 20% are midwives or doulas working exclusively with pregnant women. And the results that we have and the information coming in from all these different body workers and clinics is incredibly encouraging. So for me, there is no doubt that the mother and the baby are tremendously assisted during pregnancy by getting a gentle, experienced massage. I remember the Mennonite ladies who came in. Remember, if you had 12 children,
No, I cannot.
You're having your 13th. She would come in and say, this is my only time of the week. This is the only time I have for myself. It's my only time of quiet. And my biggest problem was getting them off the table. You know, they fell asleep, and I always had a nice, clean little bed on one side to lay her last baby on. And sometimes that baby wasn't even walking yet, and she's already having another. But, you know, so, yeah.
No, I don't know, and I'm yeah. 3 was enough for me.
So, 3? Yeah. That's how many I had, too.
Yeah.
3 is plenty.
Oh, plenty.
So I actually have a question going back to the fertility challenge. So when you're working with fertility challenge, let's say couples, do you work on both, I would say in the traditional sense of creating, the biological sense of creating a baby, you have man and a woman. Do you That's end right. up working on both?
Yes, absolutely. We always ask the couple to come in. We always treat the man and we treat the woman, and it always makes sense to have a sperm analysis for the husband because there are often surprises in there. Yes, we treat the man and the woman, and even if for the man's prostate where the seminal fluid is produced and the those little guys, what are they called, Christine?
Sperm,
yeah, spermatogenesis occurs. If that is blocked in proper blood supply to and blood supply away and acidic environment of blood supply around the testicles, the prostate, even the penis, that can also destroy sperm. That can affect its ability to swim. It takes 2 million little sperm spinning around to get through the vagina into the cervix and up into the fallopian tube where it meets the egg to fertilize. And that requires perfect fluid dynamics. Right. And that's what we are able to assist nature in keeping balanced is fluid dynamics. Yeah, so we always try to bring the couple in together. And we teach the man self-care and we teach the wife self-care as well, or the partner.
Right. And so that's a very interesting aspect because in a lot of these typical Western fertility treatments, you don't really hear about
right.
too much of the self-care aspect of it. I imagine there are protocols that they do have to adhere to, but oftentimes we're like, okay, so I get the massage and then I go and then I leave and, you know, bada bing, bada boom, that's it. So, in developing that self-care aspect of it, why is the self-care so important?
Because the, especially in the female, in the uterus, there are so many opportunities for damage to the ligaments. Every single day of our lives, we could slip and fall. We could carry bags that are too heavy, especially if we're menstruating or during pregnancy or recently after pregnancy, wearing high heel shoes. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if we have any type of imbalance in our postural alignment. When you wear high heel shoes, it throws every aspect of your pelvis, your low back off balance, and that pulls the ligaments this way or that way. So we teach self-care because the ligaments don't get fixed overnight. They don't get fixed in one treatment. But a woman can learn to do it for herself. And we teach women in pregnancy to do the massage for themselves as well. And if we can trust the partner, male or female, we would have the partner do the daily massage in a very, very simplified manner with very gentle strokes. Because the uterus is very reactive. It responds very quickly to bringing in more vital fluids to it. And the, remember, the uterus is a muscle. So those muscles need dynamic blood supply. And they have to contract and stretch for the birth process. And that all involves the flow of hormones through the bloodstream. I developed a ready, set, go process for when women are about to deliver, but they're late and the doctors are counting the clock, you know, and getting the surgery room ready. So my ready, set, go techniques most often are able to help women get a trigger going in the bloodstream to get the system working to help the baby go in, to help the uterus go into its labor.
Yeah, that actually, I actually just had a question going, well, how far into pregnancy do you recommend the massage? That sounds like pretty much up until labor.
Up till the last minute. We like to start at around 20 weeks.
Mm.
If there have been difficult pregnancies before, we might wait for 26 weeks. Right?
Developed this ready, set, go technique more recently. I don't remember this one.
You don't
one.
Remember that? No?
No.
You probably got it. I think you were at pregnancy, right?
Oh, I came to, yeah, we did the pregnancy one in, I think it was in Belize. I was the person demonstrated on, and I have to say, I was very surprised. We rolled up something or put a little pillow there, and then the technique was done over, and I was like, oh my God, I actually feel this.
Mm-hmm. And it's feel not, it. Yeah.
And you guys know, this is not a deep digging in massage. It's a very, very light touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little feathery, strokey type of touch. And I was really surprised how deeply I felt that. I have to say, I remember, you know, that feeling going, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, we also have an energetic massage where we don't touch the physical body. We only work at the etheric level, and everybody can feel it.
Yeah.
Everybody feels it somehow responding internally. We don't even touch the body occasionally. It depends on so many different factors, right? Where it may be contraindicated to apply pressure. So just even an energetic etheric massage about an inch away from the body brings beautiful, beautiful results.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I was thinking of, we just, before we came on with you, we did an interview with a pediatric chiropractor friend of mine, and she went over a couple of case studies. And one of the studies she talked about was a child she saw after they were delivered emergency from an abrupted placenta. So the placenta started coming away from the uterus before the baby was born, which is a case, and that oxygen supply gets cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought on this is that the Maya abdominal massage can help with that integrity of the uterus so that it can do what it's designed to do, is hold on to that placenta, as you said, having that better attachment and that better oxygen supply.
Yeah, absolutely. We're sure that is one of the many benefits. Yeah, that you get a better blood supply to the uterus, therefore a better blood supply to the placenta as well. And of course, that means life or death, doesn't it?
It does.
To the fetus, yes. So that's why I say we feel that we are able to prevent some miscarriages. And we know that there are contraindications to this, and that's also part of the class. And I'm very careful about teaching women when it feels that it's not safe. Our motto always is, when in doubt, don't, or refer out.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I definitely took that to heart, although I do chiropractic adjustments in the first trimester.
Yeah.
I respect the fact that we were taught in class not to do the Maya abdominal massage in the first trimester, to just let every nature take its course, as the midwife said.
That's right.
I have to say, Rosita, seriously, I'm almost like, all right, here's these Maya goddesses, you know, guiding us and all that energy, right? That healing energy. Exactly. It's Ishel, right?
Yes, Ishel.
See? I remember.
Yes, yeah.
And so normally I would take, let's say, chiropractic techniques and maybe tweak it here and tweak it there. I really have kept the teaching of what you taught for the class and pretty much kept on what I do with patients. I might, you know, make subtle changes depending on for their comfort, but in general, the technique I have kept very pure
good.
Those teachings. I was like, I want that good guidance. I don't want to make
right.
mad up there.
I know. And I always tell my students, look, we have a 5,000-year-old massage technique in our hands that has been handed down from person, from healer to grandmother to healer. It's not our place to change it.
No.
Leave it just the way it is. Preserve it. That's our job, is to preserve it. We added the back work to it, but we did not change anything in the abdominal therapy. And it's why? Why should we change it? It's works beautifully.
It really does. And I think there's something else that you said that resonated with me in the simplicity of it. It really is a very simple technique when you get into it, but the results are phenomenal. And quite quick as well. It's not something you have to...
Quite quick. I think one of our best outcomes is in dysmenorrhea, painful periods. That is almost a given. There are times when there's something else going on, but with painful periods or little dribbles of blood, not a full flow of blood, we're really able to alleviate a lot of suffering. And I feel so proud about that, that women who have suffered for decades with their periods and sometimes even are angry because they're a woman, because they have to go through this. But a massage can go a very, very long way to alleviate that.
And another question, because you have that work with, herbal, medicines. Do you ever incorporate or have recommendations along with the Maya abdominal massage? Do you take certain herbs or certain fluids, or is there another?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for answering it. Definitely. When we have a lady with painful periods and she reports that she has dark blood at the beginning of her cycle, dark blood at the end, we can be pretty sure that she has an endurated uterine membrane, that her uterine fluids have not been able to flush out properly and completely from cycle to cycle. So now inside the uterus, they build up in these little what are called venous lakes. And as it builds up from month to month, it hardens and darkens. So if her early cycle is dark, that's an indication that from her last period, she did not clean out properly. If it's dark at the end, that could be years and years and years back. So we use herbal remedies as teas and vaginal steam. Vaginal steam with especially aromatic herbs, oregano, thyme, basil, marigold, sage, rosemary. Those are all excellent for vaginal steaming. And we teach vaginal steaming in our abdominal therapy workshops. And then we have a female tonic within our Rainforest Remedies company. And that female tonic is Don Eligio's special formula. And he said, saca todo, which in Spanish means pull out everything, clean out everything. So that's Don Eligio's saca todo formula. So we take that by mouth, we do the massage, the self-care, and we do the vaginal steam, and we have tremendously great results. I'm very, very, very proud of the work that we do to alleviate suffering in women, especially, and men and children. Children 13, 14-year-olds, they shouldn't go into their reproductive life experiencing pain every single month. And usually that is as a result of falling, in my community, falling off a tractor, falling off of a horse, getting stepped on by a horse, getting pushed off a second-story building and landing. Yeah, it's a farming community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you don't have that. But you have roller skating accidents, ice skating rink accidents, right? Skateboard accidents, yeah. Fall down the stairs. And that's how a young woman can begin to have very painful periods, as simply as something that most people would not put together. The first question we ask in our intake, which takes about 2 hours, is, have you ever had a serious fall? And most of the time with long-standing menstrual disorders, there has been a serious fall. We also look at the emotional body, of course. You can't ignore that with men or women. But if there has been a rape or incest, or if there even something as like violent potty training, there you're holding a lot of emotion and a lot of charged energy down in the pelvis, and that will affect normal function, definitely. So we also look at that. That's the beauty of the pelvic and abdominal massage as well, is like Dr. Wilhelm Reich said, the father of psychotherapy of the 20th century, said our muscles hold our emotional memories. So when we massage the abdomen or we massage the area, especially around the diaphragm, these memories come up to consciousness. And if we can just look at them, acknowledge it, recognize it, we don't need to fix it. I always tell my students, don't play psychoanalyst. That's not your job. And when it's my client on the table, I always say a memory is likely to come up. Watch it go by like a train. Nobody gets off the train. Nobody gets on the train. It just keeps going and flowing, car after car. So we find that the alleviation is physical, emotional, and spiritual. And then to that, we add our Maya spiritual healing. And I think we have a very complete package to human healing and bringing people to the promise of the divinity.
That's beautiful. And so speaking of bringing people in, do you have a system or a website? So for any listeners out there who are clicking with this technique or going, I need to investigate this or I need to try this. How would people find out about
Maya? It's abdominaltherapy.com. We are just at this moment experiencing a web page transition, and we are at abdominaltherapy institute@gmail.com.
And we will put that in the description below as well. So yeah, but that's good for them to know. And is that a way where they can look up people or find, I think you mentioned like 800 official practitioners now.
Yes, there right now they could find a practitioner on the Arvigo Therapy website.
Okay.
Arvigo Therapy website will take you to a practitioner or a teacher.
Excellent. All right. Well,
So Rosita, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to a woman out there who is either looking to have optimal fertility and or they're pregnant and want to have an optimal pregnancy? What's your one piece of advice?
I think it has to be pretty clear. Get your belly rubbed. Seek normalization. That's the best advice in two words. Seek normalization.
I like it. I'm going to write that down because I think that couldn't be true. Whatever that person, whatever's normal for them, because it is different for everybody. And using these tools to help achieve that normalization, which is so important, rather than looking for it externally with a pill or a potion or something like that.
Right. And it's in our hands. That's the beauty of it. It's in our hands, and we could put it in the hands of the client as well. Self-care is something that I invented in the 1990s at some time when I realized that what Don Eligio and Ms. Hortense were showing me was so incredibly simple. I thought we should be able to do this for ourselves because we need it all the time. There is no phase of a woman's life, including at 2 years old to 92 years old, when she does not benefit from the pelvic abdominal massage.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Well, Rosita, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It was very nice. I enjoyed it very much.
That's good. Well, we enjoyed having you. And I really know, you're going to be, you're going to resonate with somebody out there. I for sure know that. And I know that I get more and more calls for people searching out for Maya abdominal massage. So I know what I've seen in my practice. I know what women have experienced because then they tell other women,
right,
you need to seek it out. That's something I hear. My friend told me that I need to do this. So the more that we can hear this, the better, because us women need to stick together. We need to empower each other.
Exactly right. That's the best way. Stick together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Anything else, Dr. Toxel?
No, just thank you. So it was a pleasure finally meeting you. I've heard a lot about you, of course, from Dr. Chris, especially working with her in the office. You know, I used to hear about this, but now I've actually heard from you the amazing power that this technique holds. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to see you as well.
Thank you.
You too, Christine.
All right. And we're back after hearing from the amazing Dr. Rosita Arvigo, who developed the Mayan abdominal massage technique. And what I actually want to talk about is my own personal experience with dysmenorrhea, aka painful periods. And Dr. Chris is going to laugh because this is something that she's been telling me to do for a very, very long time, because I do experience a day of painful period. And I've experienced this since I was 14 years old. So just give a little quick background. I did start menstruating when I was 12, had no pain for 2 years. Then at 14 years old, first time with extreme menstrual cramps. And I'm talking very painful, sometimes to the point of vomiting or near fainting. Now, I want to bring this up because when we're talking about looking at different avenues of regulating our bodies and different techniques and different ways of looking at things, this is something that I've known about. And even despite doing diet changes, inflammation changes, stress changes, this is something that Dr. Chris has been trying to get me to do since she learned this back when I was a teenager. Now, I think this is my wake-up call. As in, sorry it didn't come directly from
Look,
you.
I know it's hard when your mom is telling you that you should do something. I mean, you know, this is how it goes. Sometimes kids have to discover stuff for themselves, and that is... this is the part of parenting too, is that we can, as parents, we can put things in front of our children and we have more control when they're younger, but as they get older, they have to come around and find their own way with this. So,
right.
And that's the beauty, right?
Now my point here being, I'm now 29 going into 30, starting to think about having children. My uterus is sending me a signal with these painful periods going, this is something that you really need to look at. This is something that we need to address, especially before I think about, you know, developing a baby in there, because again, the dysmenorrhea, the pain in the area, pain is your body's messenger saying you need to pay attention to this. You need to get this looked at in whatever way, shape, form, get it addressed. Because now in my mind, I'm going, well, you know, if I have pain, like pain that significantly, what's going on in that area that is causing that? And would that be a healthy environment for a baby to be developed in? I want to give my, you know, potential future baby the best possible start. And this is coming and we're talking about conception through birth. I got to get on this now. I'm not even close to conceiving or anything like that, but this is something that I need to start addressing right now. And so that's why I'm calling it my wake-up call. So I wanted to give a personal touch in regards to the audience, because, you know, everybody's got health issues that I think should be addressed. And in particular with the reproductive, for, you know, female reproductive organs, we have a lot going on. So making sure that it's in top-notch condition to be able to grow this other being.
Well, I did, just to be clear, after I learned my abdominal massage, I did do it on you.
No, that's right? What I'm saying. She did do it on me.
And I showed you how to do the self-care.
And she showed me how to do it, and I did not. So here's where, that's why I'm taking accountability. I didn't do the self-care, and I didn't listen to your advice.
Right.
And so
it's okay.
Human. I'm accepting of that.
Okay.
But taking accountability, and it wasn't due to negligence or anything on your part, but you could only eat. And as you're saying, you can't just hound your kids at a certain age. I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
It doesn't work that well.
And here's the thing. That advice probably could have helped me. So now I have this thing in my brain. This is what I need to do now. Now I'm ready to listen.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree. Anytime, again, we're not immune to things going on in our bodies. But when you have these symptoms, they're messages from your body saying something is out of balance, something has changed, and then looking to find out what is it? What could it possibly be that's causing my body to be out of balance? And then finding a technique that works to help bring that homeostasis, as Rosita said, that balance in the body, which is crucial. And it might be more than one thing. I mean, there might be some things that have to be done with diet, exercise,
stress levels.
I mean, it's not, again, just like everything else, the my abdominal massage is not like this magic thing. It is pretty magical, but it might not, if it's not enough, then we have to look at lifestyle. But it's all about, and I think of this too, along with the aspect of chiropractic, because just like the my abdominal massage, the chiropractic helps with releasing any nervous system interference that is running the show when it comes to your hormonal system. But also the pelvis, which is the bowl that holds the uterus and fallopian tubes and ovaries. And that's where those ligaments that Rosita was talking about are holding inside of the pelvic bowl. And so if there's misalignments with that pelvic bowl, it can affect the shape and placement of the uterus. So I really love combining chiropractic with the Maya abdominal massage. But the back work that Rosita was talking about that she incorporated into the traditional work that she was learning has an aspect to it of working with the alignment, just using a different technique. It's not a chiropractic technique. But sometimes if I'm working with somebody and I'm like, you know, your pelvis is really misaligned and I think you really should consider getting a chiropractic adjustment as well as doing the massage. So that's pretty much all I really wanted to add. It's a really phenomenal technique. It's a very simple technique, but very effective. And I love the aspect that I can do what I do and then show the patient how to do their self-care to have that consistency so that they don't, pardon me, so that they don't have to wait to come in and just have the work done by me. Anything to add?
No, I think that covers everything very thoroughly. And we will be posting again all of that information. So if you want to find out more, if you want to actually receive this treatment from a Mayan abdominal massage practitioner, we'll be posting where you can find that in the description.
And as always, please subscribe so that you know when we are posting, which we typically post a new episode Mondays and Thursdays. But who knows, we might have a special episode that comes out. So please do subscribe. We love hearing from you. So we'll put our information on how to reach us in the description. Give us a 5-star review if it so moves you. And please, please, please share with your friends. They really need to hear this information as well.
All right.
All right. Till next time.
Bye.